afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it's October, woohoo, 3rd. It's Monday, 2022. Howdy do, Butch.
Hey, Miss Melody. How you doing today?
Oh, I'm just great. Thank you very much. Happy today.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah,
happy day. Okay, good.
Yeah, bullion extended its first weekly gain in 3. Woohoo! So we had a great day in gold. Finally.
And, amen.
And it's slow, but you know, we probably have a pullback tomorrow. But again, it's these lower bond rates kind of is boosting the appeal of a more of a non-interest bearing asset. So that would be gold. And of course, the interest rate hikes and so forth. And yeah, it's, but we do get the U.S. jobs data. That'll be coming Friday. So I'll tell you what, if that's a, you know, depending on what that number and who knows what it's going to be. You know, if you could pull numbers out of the sky, it can be anything. So we had gold up $40 right now in the New York spot price after mark, 1702, up 2.5%. Silver was up $1.68, $1.68, back up over 20.81. Platinum was up $40 at $909, with palladium up 70 at $2,314. Now, let's take a look at the USDX. It was down 0.47. So I'm thinking, if you have a $40 move on a 0.47 drop in gold, can you imagine what it's going to be when gold gets back down to 1 even? That's a lot of $40. So USDX is 111.70. Crude oil have a big day today, up 376 at 83.25. And so did the paper markets. They were up almost 800 points. It'll be interesting to see what the bond yields did. I haven't looked at those. Supposedly, they just tumbled. So we'll be looking at the Dow was up 765 points at 29,491. The S&P was up 92, 3,678. The NASDAQ was also up 2.25%, 10,815. So in measure and percentages, they were all up 2.5%. Asia markets, the Nikkei was the only strong one, up over 1%. Europe was positive all across the board, but not nearly as good as the U.S. Let's take a 3.657 on the 10-year yield, 3.65. So, yeah, that did drop a little bit as it was approaching 4%. It was bound to come down because it's killing house pricing. You know, it's just killing the housing market. I saw an interesting comparison. They were comparing, the rates from a year ago. Yeah, we know they've doubled and so forth from a year ago. But a year ago, at the lower rate, you could have purchased a home that was close to $800,000. Today, you can only purchase a home valued at a little over $400,000. So wow. The amount of house that you could purchase was cut in half.
Wow.
Yes, it was shocking.
That's huge.
So that's what these, you know, and people say, well, what's the big deal? You know, you were paying, you know, 7% interest rates on your homes back in, you know, early 2000 and so forth. So what's the big deal? You know, that's a big deal. And
yes,
that's
it
why
is.
It has the impacts on these markets. And your house payment, you know, we all know that would have risen. I think from a year ago, your house payment would have been up over $1,000 difference and so forth. But no. And what's interesting, Butch, the difference with that drop in the amount of house that you can buy, the difference, that's what goes to the bank. That's how much more money the bank makes. That's interest.
Wow.
So, you know, it's...
Que bono.
Pardon?
It's a que bono. Who profits on this?
Yep.
Yeah.
So incredible numbers are coming out. And there was one guy, you know, he was on Fox News this morning. He's a, I can't remember his name. I just don't remember names at all, and barely anymore. I know you, Butch. But anyway, he was saying that what's happening in these markets is not, and it's what we say every day, it's not getting the attention of anyone. He says there is such a rippling underneath. He says, you know, no one is talking about anything. That's exactly what we say. There's not a whisper on the drop in the value of the bonds. There's not a whisper on what is happening in the stock markets. There's not in the trillion. He said in the trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that have been lost, not a peep. Not a peep.
Wow.
And so, you know, and that's what we've been saying. U.S. manufacturing today, the PMI falls 1.9 points to 50.9 in September. So it grew at its slowest pace in nearly 2.5 years in September. New orders contracted. And, of course, that helped with the interest rate increases from the Fed. The Institute for Supply Management, ISM, survey on Monday also showed a measure of manufacturing employment contracted last month as a fourth time this year. And let's see what else is there. Now, remember, the ISM's manufacturing PMI dropped to 50.9 this month. This is the lowest reading since May of 2020. It reflects companies adjusting to potential future lower demand. And, of course, anything above 50 indicates expansion. So these are big numbers to pay attention to. Don't know who does, but you should. Construction has also not been spared. There's a separate report from the Commerce Department today that showed construction spending fell the most in 1.5 years in August. In single-family home building, tumbled 2.9%. So
that kind of sounds like 2009, doesn't it?
It sure does. So
come back to haunt us again.
It is. Well, you know, it's cycles, and you know what they're doing isn't fixing anything. Global manufacturing index contracts for the first time. So not just ours, but the global manufacturing purchasing managers gauge fell for a fourth consecutive month to 49.8. Readings below 50 signal contraction. Okay. Does anybody remember what was happening back in, you know, 2020? 2008, it wasn't very pleasant. So again, U.S. coal prices, they climbed past 200. So shame on that coal industry, Butch.
Oh boy, I tell you. You talking about 200 a ton?
This is just says to do a ton.
200 a ton. My goodness. That is high. So I guess that's going to make it good for coal companies. I mean, they're making a profit now, I guess. And 200 a ton. My goodness.
U.S. coal prices surged past 200 for the first time as global energy crunch drives up demand for the dirtiest, for that nasty, dirty old fossil fuel. Spot prices for coal from Central Appalachia rose to $204.95 a ton for the week ending September 30th, the highest in records dating to 2005.
That is unbelievable. Wow. Wow. You know, and I mean, that's good for West Virginia for sure. That's our biggest money-making deal is coal mines, and then also for other states like Kentucky and PA and others. But $200 a ton, that is unbelievable.
But, you know, as you know, coal remains a leading fuel in U.S. power plants, and the soaring prices will ratchet up pressure on U.S. homes for with people that are already struggling with these high electricity bills.
Uh-huh.
Except you. About 20 million households across the country, or about 1 in 6, have fallen behind on the utility bills. 20 million.
That's amazing. And winter's not even started.
Yeah. Coal prices began surging as economies around the world recovered from the pandemic lockdowns, driving up demand for electricity faster than coal miners and natural gas producers could boost supply for power plants. So again, I don't see any downward pressure on any of that for quite a while.
But, you know, it's really, and of course, England, Europe was, we'll say, quicker to do this than we have been, thank goodness for us. I mean, I'm glad we didn't do it. But, they went from coal and their own supplies of coal with other own countries to depending on Russia. Now they're trying to revert back to coal as quickly as possible because they can't get anything from Russia in the way of natural gas. They got themselves in a pinch, a big pinch, you know, and to go, we keep saying this, you depend on somebody else to take care of you, you're at their mercy. And that's something none of us individually or as a nation should do, Melody. You depend on somebody else to take care of us.
Granted. U.S. home prices now posting biggest monthly drop since 2009. You know, we just talked about that, 2009.
Yes. It's amazing.
So, it really is.
I think the bottom's fallen out with all their plans, and I don't like to say that because I know everybody's going to be hurt by it. But all this fiat currency and spreading it around like you spread icing on the cake and no accountability is coming to roost.
Absolutely. Credit Suisse is in the market. You know, they're trying to the Credit Suisse group saw its shares slide by as much as 11.5%, and its bonds hit record lows on Monday. So they did claw back from some of the losses amid concerns about the lender's ability to restructure its business without asking for more money. The situation prompted Swiss regulator FINMA, F-I-N-M-A, and the Bank of England, where the lender has a major hub, to monitor what was happening. So they're being monitored. So here, is this another Lehman coming our way? You know, Credit Suisse is one of the largest in Europe and one of Switzerland's global systematically important banks. They had to raise capital, halt share buybacks, cut its dividend, and revamp management after losing more than $5 billion from the collapse of investment firm Archegos. Remember that when we talked about Archegos back in March of 2021?
Wow.
So that happened back in March of 2021, and this is how long it takes sometimes for things to come through and to make an impact. But Credit Suisse also at the same time had to suspend client funds linked to the failed financier Greensill. So again, they might be these companies and things might be able to hang on for a while depending on who's willing to give them money and to help them through their times. But look what happened to Lehman. Look what happened to all the other ones. There comes a time when the money runs out. You can't use other people's monies anymore. You can't get the credit. And that's exactly what's going to happen to the good old U.S. of A., Butch.
Yes, it is. And it's happening, Melody. It's happening. It's happening. And we're going to see it increase. We'll get that more later on. But there's no restoring this economy as long as you stay on this same road that we've been on for the last 100 years or so. There's no way to turn around. And we can play all the games you want. We can make all the moves they want and go to digital currencies and do whatever they want to do. But they're not going to be able to turn around. I guess that's why they're planning the Great Reset. But with what they have planned with that and what I'm seeing, it's going to make matters worse. So,
yeah, because they're not fixing anything.
No, they're not fixing anything. They're not fixing a thing. They're still going to pretend to have money. Pretend to have money. Anyway, go ahead.
But yeah, this thing on Credit Suisse is a big deal. You know, their credit default swaps soared higher in Monday, adding 105 basis points from Friday's close. This is their highest level in at least more than two decades. The bank's CDs, which measure the cost to insure its bonds, stood at 57 basis points at the start of the year. That's 105. They just added that. It's 355. I mean, it's just, but you got J.P. Morgan coming out and saying, hey, the Credit Suisse's capital and liquidity is healthy. Yeah, you don't have to worry about anything of that. Heck no. Go back to what you were doing. Don't pay any attention to what's happening. If it's going to affect you, you'll find out sooner than, you know, a little bit later than sooner. So, anyway. Don't get me started, Butch.
Well, hey, you've earned it. You've earned it. For a lot of years have been saying this, and me too to a certain degree. But, yeah, the chickens are coming home the roost. That's all there is to it, you know. It's happening. It is happening. You know, I know we're going to break in about 2 minutes, but I want to.
Already?
Yeah, it's about 17 or after already. You're going by fast. But I do want to give a good report, and I want to, I guess it's going the right direction. I want to give credit to whom credit's due. This Governor DeSantis in Florida and the groups helping him really did something really amazing in Florida already. Power restored for two men in Florida already. Lyman had reported he restored power for roughly 2 million customers in Governor DeSantis, Florida, in the aftermath of Hurricane Ian last week. The governor said on Sunday, the powerful storm rocked Florida's west coast as a Category 4 storm, moving its way across central Florida and exiting off the east coast. It strengthened back to hurricane after being downgraded to tropical storm and smashed the South Carolina coast last week, making a second U.S. landfall. Prior to the storm, DeSantis assured that tens of thousands of linemen were ready to restore power when the inevitable occurred in the Sunshine State. So Florida's ready to respond. We have fleets of high-water vehicles, 42,000 linemen, 7,000 National Guardsmen, and 179 aircraft prepared to help, he said on Wednesday. The number of customers without power is now well under 1 million. Across the state, there's roughly 600,000 remain without power. While the figure may seem high, this is down exponentially from more than 3.5 million power customers affected by Ian since it hit Florida's Gulf Coast on Wednesday, as utilities restored service after the storm passed through the territories. That's impressive, Melody. That's impressive. That's impressive.
It really is. And they're just coming after him like crazy. You know,
well, they are.
You know,
they are.
He was trying to make a statement about the looting and everything like that. And, you know, maybe because some areas didn't do the evacuation soon enough or quick enough or whatever. And it's just like, geez, Luigi. And you know what is really a slap in the face? And no disrespect to anyone who lives in Puerto Rico and so forth and whatnot. But Biden is going to Puerto Rico before he goes to Florida,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm. He is.
And again, there's no disrespect at all to Puerto Rico, but couldn't he have gone there sooner?
You would think so, wouldn't you? It's been a while.
Was there a gap? Wasn't there a gap between Fiona and...
A little bit, yes.
There was a little bit of a gap to where he could have gone and so forth. Or done it in two separate trips to give each place their own attention. But anyway.
Well, it just is what it is. And after the break, we'll balance the scales on the other side of it. We'll see DeSantis and his common sense move. We're going to go to California and take a look at what Newsom just did.
Hey, I hear the music.
I do too.
That's what our producer just did, started the music. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. Working for a living, working for a living. Cause I'm working for a living.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby by the night.
Oh, that's me. I was waiting for you, Butch.
Okay. Well, I figured this is how your show. I'll let you go ahead and bring it back in.
I was reading this because I know last week we talked, I think it was Best Buy or something like that, where Rite Aid, they're considering also literally putting everything into locked displays.
Yes.
$5 million in losses during its most. So here's another one that's looking to put it. But anyway, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. It's October 3rd, and it's Monday, and it's been raining since Friday.
That's why she moved me so slow, folks. Hang in there. She'll get better.
2 more days, nothing but rain. I haven't seen the sun since last week, and it's just bad.
It's 75 degrees here in the sunshine. I'm sorry.
I actually had to turn the heat on today.
Oh, that
Can
happens.
You believe that?
That happens. It happens.
So,
you'll get some frost on the weekend, I'm sure.
Especially here in the office, the girls were shaking, shivering, so I thought I better turn the heat on.
Poor little things.
I know. Like, put a coat on. Put a sweater on.
You know, we just got through talking about DeSantis, and I think he did a fantastic job with this. But you're not going to believe this, Melody. California decriminalizes jaywalking. You know why? Racial bias.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Governor Gavin Newsom signed a law Friday that will decriminalize jaywalking across California, ending the familiar practice of police handing out tickets to pedestrians on the argument that the law is enforced more often against minorities and other people. Can you believe that? And he's going to run for president.
Oh, my. That is such a scary thought. We were really scared of Biden and still am, but he is a scary, scary, scary thought.
I mean, this is ridiculous. And this, again, in California. And I read this the other day, and I thought it must be an old story because this isn't now. But I read again today, a different story, but I looked at it, it's today. Gas price hits record high of $6.46 in Los Angeles. Soars past June high. Now, it's dropping everywhere, folks, but not in California. Gas price hit a record high in Los Angeles County at $6.46 per gallon on Monday morning, soaring past the previous record set during the nationwide price surge this past spring. The average price of gallon self-serve regular gasoline in Los Angeles County rose 0.7 cents of $6.46.6 Monday, topping the previous $6.46.2. The average price has risen 31 consecutive days, increasing $1.22, including 1 cent Sunday and 15.3 cents Thursday, the largest daily increase since a record of 19.2 cents hike on October 5, 2012, according to figures from the AAA and Oil Price Information Service. The streak of increases follows a run of 78 decreases in 80 days, totaling $1.21. That began on June 15th, one day after the average price rose to a record of $6.46.2. As Breitbart News has reported, gasoline prices have risen in California over the past several weeks, despite a gradual decline across the nation due to several unique factors, including problems at local refineries. California's already paid the highest gas price in the nation due to environmental regulations and taxes. But the limited number of refineries, thanks to those same regulations, means that when some are down for maintenance, whether scheduled or unscheduled, the state cannot easily replace a missing supply. So they've cut back on the refining gasoline, green regulations in California, of course. It's caused the price of gas to make record to break records. Where else is going down? This is going up. Oh, I just love living in California. I mean, at least you can walk across the street now without getting a ticket. I'm laughing about that. No, that's not funny. I feel sorry for those folks.
I know, because we got lots of customers and listeners in California too, so we can't, you know. But I don't know what they can do to change their, you know.
Well, they could change governors.
Because they're
probably
most likely outnumbered.
Oh, my. I do feel sorry for them. I really do. I mean, one time, well, when you're there and your home's there, you got family there, it's hard to just pack up and leave, especially if you can't just change jobs. Maybe you're like I am, you're retired, and you just can't walk out and forget things because you can't afford to start over. It's hard to leave. So they're stuck. And I feel for them. I do. But good old Newsom's going to run prison, though. He'd be a nice president. He'd fix us all. It'd be wonderful living under Newsom.
Yeah, he can choose his. Which one is his relative, Pelosi or
Pelosi? Yeah, that
Pelosi
that's his aunt.
Is his relative. Yeah,
that's
she can
aunt.
Be VP. Can you imagine?
But this is. I mean, I'm laughing about this, but I feel sorry for him. But it's just, I just wonder how the people in California keep standing for this. So, I mean, I know there got to be some angry people there. But I don't know, Melody. It's unbelievable. But, you know, just on the other side of the coin, and this is not the other side of the coin, but actually a different city, I guess New York City is going to bail out the cruise lines. You know, they're having a hard season. You know that, right?
Yes, they've already had bailouts.
Yeah, well, New York City's going to bail them out again. You know how? They're going to rent a cruise ship from Norwegian Cruise Lines to house the illegal migrants in.
Oh my!
Yeah, now this will bail out the industry and help the illegals too, I guess. But New York City signaled plenty of virtue over its sanctuary city status, though it is being overwhelmed with thousands of illegal immigrants. Now, like I said, folks, illegal immigrants being bused in from Texas, and the costs are skyrocketing. Another interesting development: New York Post reported Mayor Eric Adams is securing a deal with the Norwegian Cruise Line to house the migrants on a luxury cruise ship. I have never been on a cruise in my life and never could afford it. Here they get to live on one. Sources tell the New York Post Adams is finally finalizing a deal with Norwegian to rent a massive cruise liner for 6 months to house and process migrants before entering the city's overwhelmed shelter system. The vessel will be docked at Staten Island's home port. Migrants would be allowed to come and go as they please while staying on the ship. Sources explain the cruise ship rental would be much cheaper than building out another tent city in the metro area. The one, now pay attention, Smelly, because the people are paying for this. The one in the Bronx at the Orchard Beach parking is slated to open soon and will cost $15 million per month to operate. Did you hear that? I mean, New York, you're paying for that. Do you care? Adams is even holding talks with another ship operator, Tallink, to house Ukrainian refugees who fled the country earlier this year after the Russian invasion. Fox News estimates that 15,500 illegal immigrants have fled New York City since May, as a record number of migrants across the U.S. border, over 2 million migrant encounters by Customs Border Officials Protection this year. So there you go. New York, New York, New York, New York. Bless your hearts. You've handed out millions of dollars, $15 million a month for a tent city, and now you're going to rent a couple cruise ships to house more illegals. Oh, you are such good people. I tell you what, I know you just love your mayor and your governor. They're just treating y'all so good. Oh, my, Melody, this is so ridiculous. $15 million a month to keep up
Amazing.
A tent city. Gee. I mean, how long can people handle this? It has to be, I would think, that would be cutting into their paychecks quite steeply after a while. I mean, I know they do a lot of them on credit. I realize all that. But we still got to stand good for the debt, so that's why they keep raising taxes. I mean, they have to. How else are you going to take care of 2 million illegals across the border every year unless we pay for it? Is that a fair question?
it is, but you know what? A lot of those New Yorkers and so forth, they love being a sanctuary city, and they're proud of it. So, you know, unfortunately, they should do a survey whether you like being a sanctuary city or you don't, and those who like being a sanctuary city, you know, just send them the tax bill.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair.
They're still trying to sue DeSantis for flying his 50 to Martha's Vineyard.
I don't know. I told you this. My tax guy said, well, what did you do for donations this year? I says, well, let me see what I paid in taxes, and then we'll figure out the percentage that it goes to housing the illegal aliens and everybody else that's there for charity. I'll claim that as my donation.
Really?
He laughed. He thought that was the funniest thing he ever heard. No, I was serious, but
well, you're right. But he can't come.
Yeah, I don't approve. I don't. That's charity we're doing.
I agree. I don't give it voluntarily either. Do you?
Pardon?
I don't give it voluntarily either.
No. So, you know, hey, they're using up my donation funds for, you know. So it's the same thing. I don't mind helping people.
No, I don't mind helping people if I want to help them, and the kind of people that deserve the help. Illegals are illegals are illegals. There's no way I can get around that. You can say, well, they're hungry, they're whatever, they're scared. I appreciate that, but they're still illegal.
Yes.
You know, it's like in the Bible, talked about in Proverbs, I think chapter 17 says, if somebody steals when they're hungry, you can understand it, but you still got to pay back seven times. Because thou shalt not steal doesn't say thou shalt not steal until thou art hungry. Same thing as illegal. Illegal is illegal. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
But on the other side of the coin, you've been hitting me high marks here with what you've been saying this hour, and so many different things that you've been talking about that's coming apart, it seems, but nobody's talking about, like you said. Well, high grocery store prices not expected to drop as food inflation surges. Now, this we already know it, but this is talking about coming in the very near future. While American consumers are itching for grocery prices to drop amid rising inflation, food manufacturer executives are saying prices will not be decreasing anytime soon. Historical data shows that food prices tend to steadily rise, approximately 2 or 3% annually, and rarely decrease. From 1974 to 2021, there were only 2 years when prices dropped, government data shows. Food prices in August rose at the fastest rate since 1979, Breitbart News reported. Food inflation in August rose 12.4% from the previous year, while grocery store prices increased by 13.5%. Molly, that's huge. Mm-hmm. That's a chunk. Consumers may get a slight break as retail prices are expected to stabilize, but manufacturers are preparing for increased production costs. Research company IRI expects food prices to increase by 5 to 10% next year as producers deal with increased labor and commodities costs. Furthermore, General Mills expects its production costs to increase 14 to 15% in 2023 fiscal year due to rising prices for ingredients such as nuts, fruits, and flavors. No, folks, it's not going away. It ain't going back to normal. Normal is gone forever. Well, if you call it normal before, even. It wasn't even normal 10 years ago. But it's never going to be anywhere near that again. This is not going to go away. This isn't just all of a sudden disappear and go back to where back 2019 normal. It isn't going to happen. It ain't going to happen ever again. Food prices will never come down again because for a lot of reasons. But the main reason is you don't have any money. Not that you don't have currency in your pocket. You do. But you don't have any money. Melly, is that fairly clear?
It is to me.
You know, I mean, I shared this Bible study this past week. You walk around with a $20 bill in your pocket. You know, I got money. No, you don't have money. You got a fiat note. You got a Federal Reserve note. It's a debt instrument. You don't have money. You think you're carrying money in your wallet, but all you do is carry around a piece of paper that people trust to take for goods. And ask what you're doing, you're passing debt to them. So, no, you don't have any money. Haven't had money in this country since 1964. So here we sit and wonder why everything keeps going up and up and up and why it's so unstable. Why the economy is so unstable. Why is everything changing worldwide? Why are people going under? Yeah, COVID had a lot to do with it, no doubt about it. But that was only that was just a stumbling block along the way. Yeah, it made it stumble maybe harder and faster, But it's going to come sooner or later anyway, wasn't it, Melody?
Absolutely.
So maybe I'm just simple in the way I think about things, but as long as we keep passing paper around, or we let the government keep printing paper, and the Fed finally put you on digital currency, or digital, and it's not the same as currency, it's digital, it's not even currency. It's nothing. But they'll do that. It's coming to that. I don't know how they're going to do it worldwide, but they're coming to it. So anyway. And guess what now? U.S. is facing natural gas shortage. Guess why? Because we're going to supply Europe with gas. So America's domestic natural gas consumption is being threatened by record liquefied natural gas, or LNG, exports to Europe. According to state by Reuters, shale producers in the U.S. are struggling to address a rising demand for domestic and international natural gas. Shale producers account for the bulk of U.S. natural gas output. With the winter season fast approaching in both Europe and U.S., and with a lot of people in both places using gas for heating, the price outlook for gas does not look good from a consumer perspective. A Reuters column noted that U.S. gas prices are up a whopping 300% from a few years ago when gas was cheap because it was abundant. Gee. Sanctions on Russia made it more difficult to acquire the natural gas necessary for Europe, with Germany suffering the most at this time. But the U.S. sends too much natural gas there, then it could see itself in a similar situation pretty soon. Natural gas prices in the U.S. dropped significantly after trade unions and halt railway companies reached a tentative deal that averted a potentially devastating strike. But to begin to struggle, folks, keep up with them with demand, and it's going to go in who knows to what. But Melanie's up 300% over the last few years. 300%. That is a lot, isn't it?
It seems like a lot. You bet it is.
I don't know what are people going. Seriously, if you're barely making now, what are you going to do when the food goes up again and your heat goes up again and the power goes up again? Now, a lot of companies are making electricity from natural gas. That's going to go up. They're going to pass costs on to you and me. So I don't know. And coal, $200 a ton. Probably won't be a lot of relief, except maybe you'll have gas. You'll have electricity. Otherwise, you won't have electricity at all. Go ahead, Melody. We'll give you a break anyway. Go ahead.
We heading into a break right now? Yes, we are. So, yeah.
Yes.
We got a few minutes.
Yes,
but,
got a few seconds.
Seconds? Countdown? No, anyway. But, yeah, and you know, but just this is what we say every day, and, you know, and I almost get tired of saying it every day, but it really is coming this way. I've been saying it for a long time. You've been saying it for a long time. We don't know when it's all going to happen, but all these things are happening even when people don't realize that it is. It's all, yes, you have to look behind the scenes. You have to look underneath that paper. You have to look underneath things. You have to go a little step further, because I'll tell you what, mainstream and Wall Street, they want it. They gloss it over. They don't want you to know, because they don't want you to take your money from Wall Street. They'd rather see you lose it than you take it.
Amen.
That's a fact. And now we're heading into break. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul, to be exact. Covering lots of topics today. Butch, where would you like to go now?
Oh, there's many places to go. I've got a stack of news here we'll never get through today, but I'll get through what I can. Because I want to discuss now what's happening now with the digital currencies worldwide. We talked about this a couple, 3 years ago. They're still kind of on the drawing board. They had a plan, but it wasn't coming about. Now it is. Australia issues white paper for central bank digital currency. You know, Australia's bank would belly up. You know that. They bailed themselves out printing more money. But anyway. Mm-hmm. Reserve Bank of Australia is researching the potential benefits of launching a central bank digital currency. The Monetary Authority released a white paper outlining its goals and invited interested parties to participate with proposals and suggest pilot projects. Central Bank of Australia to pilot CBDC until middle of 2023, so there looks like it's going to start it pretty soon. The Reserve Bank of Australia has set out to explore the use of cases for a digital version of the Australian dollar. Is collaborating on the project with Digital Finance Cooperative Research Center, a research program funded by the government and the financial sector. This week, the two released a white paper for the central bank's digital currency. The document, entitled Australia's CBDC Pilot for Digital Finance Innovation, details the main objectives of the initiative and explains the design for a new currency. I like that. The design of the new currency. There won't be a currency. It'll be a digit on a card or a computer, people. Members of the industry have been invited to propose use cases that have the potential to improve the function of Australia's economy and financial system, the RBA announced. Now, China, Hong Kong, Thailand, and UAE trial cross-border transactions with digital currencies. Isn't it amazing how many of this has all come to being almost at once? China, Hong Kong, Thailand, and United Arab Emirates, that's a lot of money flowing back and forth, isn't it?
It is, sure is.
The monetary authorities of four jurisdictions in Asia have carried out tests with international settlements using state-issued digital currencies. Cross-border payments and foreign exchange transactions totaling over $22 million were made as a part of the pilot project with the participation of the Bank for International Settlements. The monetary policy regulators of China, Hong Kong, and Thailand, the United Arab Emirates have conducted a trial of cross-border payments with digital currencies issued by them. The successful completion of the pilot was announced by the Bank for International Settlements Innovation Hub Hong Kong Center. And I keep saying, they keep using the word currency. That just drives me nuts because there's no currency. The test, which took place between August 15th and September 23rd, covered real value transactions. They were processed through a distributed ledger platform called M-Bridge, a payment project initiated by the Hong Kong Monetary Authority, Bank of Thailand, and the BIS Innovation Hub in 2019. The People's Bank of China and the Central Bank UAE joined in 2021. During the trial, 20 commercial banks employed the platform to settle various kinds of payments for corporate customers, mainly in cross-border trade, the BIS explained in a post on LinkedIn. Over $12 million in value was issued on the platform, facilitating over 160 cross-border payments and FX transactions, totaling more than $22 million in value, it detailed. My goodness, they're moving right into it, Melody. It's boom, there it is. I mean, Hong Kong, China, Thailand, and UAE using computer digits for payments. What could go wrong with that?
Nothing, as long as everything is functioning properly and you don't get hacked. I just saw, and you got to remember, you know, there was a school, I think, that rejected the hackers took over their the school didn't pay the ransom, so the hackers released all the information on the school and the students. So, you know. You never hear anybody talk about hacking, do you?
No. They want you to think everything online that you have online, which is about everything you have any longer, is totally secure.
Yeah.
I mean, the banks, your account secure in the bank, mine got hacked twice, no, three times. But they say it's totally secure now, I want you to understand. Yeah, they give the money back to the ministry, they did. But they got hacked three times. My personal two personal and ministry account. So it can and does happen. So let's not kid ourselves, folks. All it takes for all this to collapse, and if you're not dependent on our Social Security checks to be direct deposited in a bank, and they are, that's a computer transaction. If the computers go down, what's that mean to you and me? How do you and I handle our bills then? Well, that's a real question. How would we feed our families if all that goes down?
How is what?
How would we feed our families if all this goes down? I mean, my Social Security check is direct deposit, right?
That's correct.
And if something happens that doesn't come through, how to pay bills next month?
Well, I just saw, you know, I know they don't call them food stamps anymore, supplemental whatever SNAPs, or I think they even upgraded that name now too. But they're getting a 15% increase, 12% or 15. I think it's 12%. It's like, we didn't get that much in Social Security, did you?
No, I didn't. It's not your first year anyway, I think, and it was supposed to come out. Is that right? I believe.
Yeah, they got it. But so what are they going to do? I mean, these people that, you know, they do, you know, they depend on that too for their food. I'm not saying it's a good program or a bad program. I'm just saying that these people are dependent on that for food to feed their family. So, yeah, you're right. What if something happens to these? These systems can't get generated. They're little digits for people to pay. We don't accept money anymore. We accept digits.
And right now we can go to the bank and draw out paper currency right now. We can get it out. But, folks, what if the paper currency is not there? What if they don't honor any longer? What will you do? We'll have to give you a card, like a debit card. And if you're a good citizen, you get it off, not going to fine you. And if that card doesn't work for whatever reason, we're heading down a bad road, a very bad road in the world, not just America, but the whole world. NATO preparing for world war. Now, this is a verified, true article, but I don't like to even think about this. I know for a fact that the U.S. military is deploying some reservists to Romania to train European soldiers. The reservists have been told that the war will escalate. I repeat that. The reservists have been told that the world war will escalate. As a soldier told me, things are getting really bad over there. They'll be training Europeans to fight against Russians for at least 6 months. NATO's constructing a battlefield in Romania for the extensive training. The Sinsu military training facility already exists but is undergoing massive expansion. This is precisely what Russia feared long before the entering Ukraine. I reported that Russia knows it is fighting the West and not simply Ukraine. NATO has increased its presence around Eastern Europe this year and has no plans to de-escalate the situation. There are over 40,000 troops on the ground across Eastern Europe, and more are set to arrive. In fact, NATO will establish four additional multinational battle groups in Hungary, Romania, Slovakia, and Bulgaria. Colonel Vincent Minguit, the commander of the NATO combat group in Romania, said the plan is for the creation of a permanent, stronger battalion with more heavy weapons to prevent any aggression or destabilization in Romania.
Alarmingly, Minute believes that training will last for 4 or 5 years. They're planning for a long-term ongoing battle fought among numerous nations, a.k.a. a world war. Wow. That's not pleasant to hear, is it?
No. No, it is not.
You know, and I don't know how close we are to nuclear war. I have no idea. Only God knows for sure. But we mentioned last week, I think it was, in 62, I think it was, when we had the trouble in Cuba with the Russian put missiles there. And you said we were very close. And I know that for a fact, after the fact, and we knew that. I wonder how close we are now and they're not telling us. Give me an idea. Yeah. I mean, this makes you think about that, doesn't it?
I don't think we were as close as what they were back in, you know, at that point in time. But you never know.
No, you don't know. You don't know.
Uh-huh.
And back to a different topic in Europe, the Bank of England rings the mother of all bells. Last week, the Bank of England suddenly pivoted. It gave up its inflation fight to rescue its pension funds. We talked about that last week. And bond market. What exactly happened? And what does it tell us about the Federal Reserve's inflation fight? Peter Schiff explained it all on his podcast. There's no expression. No one rings a bell, meaning there's no warning when there is a major top or bottom in the markets. But Peter said there often is a bell, but nobody hears it. Last week, Peter said we got the mother of all bells. It was literally Big Ben that rang because the bell was in England. The Bank of England was the first major bank to blink in this global chicken. Last week, the Bank of England pivoted and returned to quantitative easing. Peter called this development very significant because up until the announcement, Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey was just as hawkish as Jerome Powell. The Bank of England raised interest rates from 0.1% last December to roughly 2.25%, including a 50 basis point rate hike in August. It was the largest BOE rate hike in 27 years. He was talking tough about how resolute the Bank of England was to fighting inflation. They've got the highest inflation rate in Europe. It's way above their 2% target. It's a double-digit number. It's about 10%. Bailey even said he was committed to bringing down inflation no matter the cost and said he was willing to endure some pain, just like Jerome Powell. Well, that was all a bluff because we got some pain overnight and Bailey folded like a cheap suit. And instead of quantitative tightening, They're back to quantitative easing. The rate hikes are probably permanently on hold because the Bank of England refused to allow a potential crisis to unfold as a result of rising interest rates. The crisis manifests itself in the UK pension system with plunging bond prices. CNBC summed up the problem. In order to top off the collateral on these bonds, some funds had to raise cash. But due to the speed of this crisis, many funds were caught out and were forced to liquidate their next most liquid assets, long-term bonds or gilts, causing the price of bonds to fall even more. In order to stabilize bond prices, the BOE stepped up to buy long-term bonds, creating an artificial demand and propping up prices. The pension problem isn't exclusive to the United Kingdom. Pension systems are the same in USA. Wow. Boy, you've been saying that for years, Melody. Years.
Say that again.
You've been saying that for years.
Well, you know, it's funny. Now, this is the UN. They came out today and said, hey, you countries, the U.S., and you guys got to stop raising those rates. And you know what? You know, and it's just like, well, remember President Trump came out saying about rates when they were hitting about 2.5, and now we're way over that. And it's like, you know, they're between a rock and a hard place, and everything they do, it's just going to make things worse, and they can only stall it for so long. Can they stall it for a couple years? Maybe. Who knows? I don't know. But the whole point is every day you continue to lose your purchasing power. And, you know, the market was up 800 points today, so now everybody's thinking, oh, yeah, they'll bring it back. It was up 800 points. I don't have anything to worry about. I don't have anything to worry about.
It's still down 7,000 points from what was a few months ago, though.
Yeah, so, I know.
There you go.
Yeah. Wall Street's got my back. That's the thought. It's kind of like Vegas when you go to Vegas and you're gambling. Yeah. the casinos have my back. They won't let me lose too much.
Sure.
You know, I'll lose some, but then, and it's true, you lose some and you win some. You lose some and you win some. By the time you leave, guess who's won the most? It's not you.
The deck
and it's
is
the
stacked.
Same thing.
The deck is stacked. It is stacked.
It is. And to really believe that they would allow common people to play in their backyard and join them, they wouldn't do that unless they could use you in order to make them more wealthy and more powerful. And it's just the way of the world.
Well, when you see the Bank of England backtrack that quick and do what they had to do, but
their currency was falling out of bed.
It was. They bought their own debt, more or less, is what they done.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they done.
Yeah.
And when you they buy their own debt with nothing, because that's what caused debt in the first place, nothing. They trade with nothing, so they buy debt with nothing. Mm-hmm. What could go wrong with that? That makes a simple idea to me, man.
What could go wrong with that?
Yeah, I'll just use my credit card, pay up another credit card. Nothing to worry about here. They're all paid. Oh, Melody. The insanity just increases every day.
I know.
It truly does. And we're going to run out of time here in a second, but I just want to tell people, please think about this. I'm not a wealthy man by any means. No stretch of imagination when you think I was wealthy. But it's good to have a little bit of security put back in something. Maybe a little bit of cash put back. But why not some precious metals? It's always worth something. It will never go to nothing, folks. Do it now. 800-375-4188. Go ahead, Melody.
Thank you, Butch. You closed that out very nicely. And we'll be back soon. I think we're out of time. Thank you for joining us. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Left for me. That's too bad.